During the last sessions, I first tried to clearly explain the significance or importance of motives and motivation. And then I said that there are about 7 or 8 ways which Baba adopts to motivate us to attain the highest spiritual status. And I was giving some examples from Baba's Avyaktvanis as to what are the yuktis which Baba uses to transform us, to spiritualize us, and to take us towards our goal. You will find that there are mainly 5 or 6 motives which a person generally has in his worldly life. And Baba tries to sublimate those motives, to redirect those motives or re-channelize them so that we can attain the spiritual inheritance and attain our highest stage. One of the motives which a worldly man uses is, for example, the money motive. Many people do not pay full attention to this spiritual knowledge because they say they are busy. And they are busy in earning money in their business. They do not know what gain they will be having by devoting time, money and energy to this spiritual study. Therefore, they are not able to have that much benefit. Another is the sex motive. Many have conflict in their mind because they don't have purity, which is the foundation of Brahman life. And I said there are various manifestations of this motive. And this takes the soul away from Baba and deprives the soul of the inheritance of Baba, from Baba. And similarly, there is the motive for social recognition. And many of Avyaktvanis Baba has been giving is that we should not be after name and fame or public applause, that someone should adore us, but we should try to glorify Baba and try to be an instrument. We should have humility. Or the mastery motive, that we want to have a domineering role, to play a ruling part, so on and so forth. This again is another one. Similarly, the maternal motive, to have a child, someone would say that after this I become pure and take to spiritual life totally, but not before that. And there are public pressures one gives to this. So these are some of the motives because of which a person is not able to pay full attention or to divinize the self. These are the hindrances or the mental blockades which do not allow us to make our spiritual endeavor first-rate spiritual endeavor. Now, before I begin to give some examples from previous Murlis, I would like to discuss it in the form, first of all, what Baba gave us last night, the Avyaktvani. That would perhaps make my contention clear. Now, if we just keep in mind what Baba said last night, Baba said, Snehi Bacche, I have come to meet my loving children. And he said that there are 3 kinds of children. They are all loving children, they love me, but they are number-wise in terms of love. And he said the first among those belong to the category which are sadasnehi, always in Baba's love. And you will find that this aspect of life Baba has been very often emphasizing upon in Murlis. Lagan mein magan, sometimes he would say, our yoga is lagan mein magan, to be lovefully absorbed in Baba's remembrance. This is what our yoga is. Sometimes he would say, ek Baba dusra na koi, none but one. Or that we should ek sang jod, anek sang tod, that we detach ourselves from all directions and pay our attention to one, God only. So these are various kinds of statements which Baba makes to tell us the importance of having loveful relationship. It all depends upon the intensity of love which we have for Baba. In some Murlis he said, those who have muhabbat, they have not to do mehnat. Those who have deep love, intense love for Baba, they need not make very strenuous efforts. things will become easy for them. Obstacles will wither away from their path. This is what has been saying in various forms. So that in itself shows that it is something very important in our life, that we should check up whether we are so deeply, so intensely, so highly motivated. Is this achievement of the highest stage, highest yogic or spiritual stage, that is the angelic stage in this life, our only motive, or there are other motives? Or at least, is this the most dominant motive which keeps under check, under control, or under its guidance all the other kinds of motives? The others are subservient to this, or this sometimes fades away. And you will find that last night's Murli throws light on this when it asks whether we are sada snehi or we are kabhi kabhi snehi, sometimes not snehi, having love sometimes and having less of it the other time. Or the third category, which remember Baba only in the time of need, when they are in some difficulty, or out of hujjat, as Baba said. Yes, Baba, we are thine, thou art ours. But they do not have that kind of intimate relationship. They are always loving Baba from the depth of their mind. So this in itself shows, what do we mean by sada snehi? That is, those who have constant love without any breaks, without any checks, and without any lapses on their part. It's not that sometimes they are drawn to physical beings because of sex motive. It's not that sometimes they are busy with earning money and forget Baba totally. That is what happens when people say that when we are devoted to our daily work, we forget Baba. It is because at that time we may perhaps be drawn more towards our money and business than towards Baba. So you will find that when he says sada snehi, that love for Baba is in our mind in an emerged form and at its climax, then only he says we can attain the highest goal. And this is what happens when we are fully motivated to this. When the achievement of this kind of Bab Saman Avastha, the stage which is equivalent to or similar to Baba, is our only goal, is our only motive, then only we can be having love for him and nothing else. And when we listen to Baba's biography, we find that Baba also fully devoted himself to this life when he said, Pana tha jo pa liya aur kya baki raha. Whatever worldly attainments I wanted, I have. I no longer am after them. My mind is now turned away from all of them. And at this stage, he gave up his jewelry business and he totally devoted to Shiv Baba. And he said, Allah ko Allah mila de ko mili badshahi. Now, he referring to his business partner, says that I am now close to God. So I have attained everything. The love of God is everything, attainment of everything, mahabbat. And when he attained this stage, then only he became number one. And last night also he was saying number one, number two and number three in this spiritual effort. Number one are those whose imagination is fired with the love for Baba. They want nothing else. No name and fame, no worldly pleasures, no comforts, no attraction for the senses, sense objects. Nothing which a worldly man wants, they want. For Baba, they are prepared to do anything, make any sacrifice, and do any kind of service, and lose their even rest because out of love for Baba, not because they want to be glorified, even in the Brahmin family. So that is the stage of number one. I would like to read Baba's original verses from last night's Murli and try to show what he wants to say about these three kinds of love. And from this you will get also hints as to what are the yuktis Baba uses for our transformation, for redirection of our motivation towards the attainment of this goal, which he has been using last night also. These seven or eight, as I said. Now he says, ye sneh sare purane sansar ko sahaj bhulane ka sadhan hai. If you love Baba, then it is the easiest way to forget this old world. What do you mean by forgetting the old world? It means you have no motives to be fulfilled in this old world. You have no attraction left for you. Your mind has ceased to move towards this goal, this world. You do not look back to this world. And which means you are so motivated now, this is the highest in your mind. And all other is now subservient to this. And therefore you are not drawn to this old world. And this is sometimes Baba says, marjiva, that is to take the spiritual birth and to die of the old. This also is possible only when we are fascinated by the new one and we have no interest left for the old one. And then he says, sneha brahman jivan ka foundation hai. Just see. This love is the very foundation. We say that brahmacharya or purity is the foundation of brahman life. Is it that he is equalizing this? Because brahmacharya is purity, and purity includes brahmacharya. As a matter of fact, brahmacharya is a part of it. And what is purity? To have no worldly attraction. Not for the body, not for the sense pleasures, not for the sense organs, not for the worldly attainments. So, this he says is the foundation of Brahman life. And how can we have not this, not this, not this, which belongs to the worldly? Because when we have love for Baba, then all these automatically are replaced. So, to get over our attractions and pulls toward the world, what we have to do is to develop, emerge love in our mind for Baba. When this comes, the other one, the negative side is automatically removed. So important is this motivation. And yesterday when Dadiji was reading the Sakar Vani, last night also when Baba was said, samjhe ke nahi samjhe? Do you understand or you don't understand? This has been repeated many times in the Gita. So Arjuna, do you really understand or you don't understand? And Baba last night also said, they understand, but they don't understand. What do you mean by they understand and they don't understand? Superficially they understand. Yes, love for Baba is the main thing. It will bring transformation in our life. It will remove obstacles from our path. And we will get inheritance from Baba. And what will that inheritance be worth? They understand. But there are other pulls, other attractions. There are some other motives to be fulfilled. And underneath those motives are so many desires. The motive is the main head. And the other is to think over this very deeply. Until and unless I feel that I am very deeply, intensely motivated. And that alone can bring me the stage of meditation, even while I am in work. Why we sometimes say that we are not able to practice meditation for 8 hours a day? As Baba says, do you practice 8 hours a day, your meditation? When there is the load of sins of 63, our body conscious lives on our head, and we are required to practice meditation, to be yogis, always yogis. Yoga is our very lifestyle. And still we forget Baba. Why? It is because we do not understand really, we do not realize it, the importance of this. And then Baba says, teen prakar ke snehi baap dada ne dekhe. Baap dada saw three kinds of children who had love, number wise. जो सदा के स्नेही हैं, वे लवलीन होने के कारण मेहनत और मुश्किल से सदा ऊंचे रहते हैं. Those who have constant love, who are always in love with Baba, they are above the obstacles and the hurdles, the problems. They have not to work strenuously for attaining their aims. न मेहनत करनी पड़ती है, न मुश्किल का अनुभव होता है. They don't feel that there are obstacles standing in their way. Now look. This is one of the yuktis Baba adopts to transform. Because our aim after all is to attain. Even a worldly man wants to attain something. And if the attainment is possible this way, better than the other way, any sensible person would say, yes, why not this way? Try. And in Indian spiritual scriptures they say, Parmarth se vyavhar se dhota hai. If you just turn your mind to God, even your worldly things get easy. You are able to attain even worldly success better and easier if your mind is spiritualized. So, Baba is again and again telling us that, I tell you, even in your worldly problems, take the care of health. Baba says, kuch dua and kuch dawa. If we just depend only upon medicine and not upon meditation, we have in our conferences very often the topic, meditation is medication. Is it for telling to others? Not for us. It's for public consumption, not for us. Now, when meditation is medication, that in itself means that even health-wise, we will gain. And what is our meditation? Just love for Baba in our conscious mind, in our awareness. Because our yoga is not mere concentration or just remembrance. Baba always said, when you just define yoga, say it is the loveful thing. The word loveful must be there. This is the main difference between the other systems of yoga and our yoga, which Baba tells us. This is Raj Yoga. One of the main differences between Patanjali's Raj Yoga and this Shiv Raj Yoga, the Raj Yoga which Shiv Baba tells us. He just dwells mainly upon concentration. Have a focus and concentrate your thought on it. But ours is not mere concentration, it is absorption. It is total absorption because of the strong emotion of love. And love is something which naturally draws us to our object. We have not to make any hard effort for it. Our mind goes where our love is. What else love means? Love means that it is something which draws us to itself. And if we have love for Baba, naturally our mind goes, yoga becomes natural. And the higher the degree of love, the higher is our absorption. We say our stages of yoga are meditation or contemplation and then concentration and then realization. I would say absorption. Totally absorbed in that love, bliss, peace, in that kind of realization. So that comes when there is love. And Baba says when you have this, even from the worldly point of view, you will gain because your mind will be relaxed. Suppose there is a laukik problem, a worldly problem staring in your face. How a yogi will be able to solve it better by Baba's love? He can have Baba's guidance because he is on the hotline with Baba. He can say, Baba, what am I to do? And just try, Baba will tell you, child, do this. Another person cannot think of it. We have so much experience in this human life which is associated with this Baba's work, where we find that so many problems came in the history of the institution, where we had no experience to deal with them. And how Baba guided in our even facing the public and doing worldly problems, solving them, or even personal problems. Because that gives you, Baba says, I am your sathi, I am your companion, your friend, your guide, your philosopher, your teacher. Have all these relationships with me. He is the perfect one, the wisest one. He can give you that piece of advice which no one else can give. Just try. Even in the worldly affairs, whatever you want to attain, you can attain better. Because here is the one who knows the whole world, the past, the present and the future. And what he can tell you is from a position from which no one can. Because he has those abilities which are unique, which no one else has. But provided we realize this and surrender ourselves to him. And surrender first of all our intellect to him. Because if we want to get anything from him, it is through our intellect. It is not to be given from one hand to the other hand just as we get totally from Baba. But this kind of thing is to be had from intellect to intellect, from soul to soul. And then he says, kyon, snehi hone ke karan, snehi atma ke aage, prakriti aur maya, dono abhi se dasi ban jate. See, he says, if you have love with me, then maya and prakriti, that is maya and forces of nature or matter, they also become servants unto you. They surrender themselves to you. So, there is nothing like that. And the scientists on the other hand are trying to conquer these forces of nature, to bring them under their control. And here is yoga, which Baba says this is the perfect science. This is also Vigyan. It is a science. which again makes Prakriti, that is matter, your most obedient servant. Because in golden age, when we attain our perfect state by means of meditation, by means of yoga, the forces of matter need not be controlled as the scientists are now trying to do. They already are our very obedient servants. So yoga power, yoga is better science than these material sciences. And Baba says those who have love, they can have even that. Arthat sadasnehi atma malik ban jati hai. Sadasnehi atma ka har samay, har sankal, hai hi baap ke yaad aur seva ke prati. He says that those who are having constant love for Baba, they cannot think of any other worldly thing. Their mind is not occupied with worldly thoughts. And they become master of their sense organs and maya. And he says, har sankalp hai hi baap ki yaad aur seva ke prati. All their thoughts are devoted for Baba's service. Now what I wanted to point out was, why we do not have the worldly thoughts, which Baba says he does not think of other worldly things. His thoughts are not devoted to the worldly attainments. It is because no charm is left anymore. There is no motive to be fulfilled. There is no desire left. And as I was saying yesterday, we cannot kill the desire. Desire is something which you cannot eliminate. Totally, there cannot be perfect vacuum, they say in this world. And this applies to desire. You have to replace one desire by another desire. But desire must remain. Desire is one of the, I should say, attributes of the soul. And even if we have no other desire, we have at least the desire to play. In golden age, we have total contentment. We have no desires as we have now. We are not hankering after something, thirsting after something, hungry after something. All those needs are fulfilled. But still, we want to have an enjoying play. We want to play the role in the drama. At least this kind of a good, noble desire is there. But in this case, our desire being to attain that stage, all other desires are automatically replaced. This is what we have to do and this is the process. So I just wanted to show how Baba has been giving the importance of this love and motivation for attaining our ultimate goal, and says that even there are three kinds of children, the reason being that their motivation is sometimes one has the constant motive of Baba's love and having the achievement of the final stage, the angelic stage. Others sometimes have, don't have. Sometimes they are after worldly things. And the third category is those who are generally after worldly things. And of course they understand that it is Baba who gives us everything. And time and again they return to this. Now, I had said that there are 8 or 7 ways whereby Baba transforms. Now I will give from Baba's avyakta vanis how Baba uses those yuktis. And I had said that I would keep in mind mainly the mastery motive, that someone wants to have the domineering position and wants to have some kind of a monopoly, or say the rulership part in a play, that sort of thing. And keeping that in mind, I would read from Baba's Murlis what yuktis has Baba has been doing. And the 7 methods which I said Baba generally uses, I would first of all again repeat those 7 methods, because some of the sisters and brothers here are for the first time. What are those 7 methods? Then under these 7 heads, I would read one by one the versions from Baba's avyakta vanis. First I had said is to show that the worldly motives are inferior and Baba tries to create aversion for them. This is one of the ways. I will give instances from Baba's Murlis later. Second is that he tries to replace them by better forms. One has money motive. Now Baba wants to give him something better, whereby he can have money. He will say that you invest in this manner and you will get better in this manner. And the third is to inspire for some achievement which encompasses all these, which is all comprehensive, which is all inclusive, so that all your motives can be fulfilled by making one single unified effort. The fourth is to defer, that if there are some worldly motives, Baba wants you to keep them waiting for some time. It may be fulfilled later. And he tells you that this one is more urgent and higher in respect of importance. This need be attended first. And after that, you could pay your attention to the other motive. So you could keep that, postpone that for some time. And the fifth is to show the benefit in giving up, which we discussed partly yesterday also. Tyag mein bhag hai. That we, by giving up, we gain. And the sixth is diversion. He tells us to attend to some other thing so that in the meantime, the worldly motive dies because of disuse, because it's not used. And the seventh is balancing. He tells us of some other important thing so that the two motives have to be balanced. And the seventh is that he explains to us how if we allow our motives a free play, then we will be causing sufferings to others as well as to ourselves. Partly I was explaining this yesterday also. Na dukh do, na dukh lo, where I said. Now, about these seven, I would take them one by one. The first is to show that our worldly motives, if they are fulfilled, or if they are allowed free play, they will give inferior result. And therefore, to create aversion towards them. This one I am taking up first. Partly I had taken it yesterday, but one or two more points I would like to give, and then I would proceed further. Now, in one of the Avyakt Vanis, Baba says, ye ishwariya law hai, swayam ko siddh karne wala kabhi bhi prasiddh nahi ho sakega. Now, a person who has the mastery motive, why I am in particular taking up this mastery motive? Because this mastery motive does not allow us to surrender to Baba. And it is a great obstacle. And it does not allow us to adjust in divine family, in Brahmin family. It brings about clash of interest among the Brahmins, creates disunity, rift, and loss of service. And by creating this kind of service, it creates tension in so many minds. It disturbs, it deviates your attention from God. Because there is the habit of vasism, to lording over others, and trying to command respect, not deserve by qualities, but to expect. It is the habit of a demanding person, so to say. So this mastery motive is a like sex motive. Baba generally tells about these two motives mainly, I find. That one and this one. Therefore, I am taking this one presently. And a person who has this motive, he wants that his efforts may be lauded, appreciated. This is the inner wish, always. And be respected, given some privileges, some preferences, so on and so forth. Now, would try to prove correct. Supposing there is a meeting, and people are asking for each one's suggestions, views. Now, this person would give some suggestion. And in order to prove that what he said was correct, he would try to prove it. To show that what he is the wisest. Because he wants to, that all should do what he wants to do. What he is asking, he is the most sensible person. So instead of having humility, he has got that ego. It's because of this. So that creates rifts. Even if there are some other people saying some sensible thing, it does not go into his mind because this is creating a blockade in his mind. He is thinking too much of himself and too less of others. That is the reason he does not help others or try to understand or appreciate others or get their cooperation, even if they are willing to cooperate, and is unable to adjust. So, Baba says, if such a person wants to, the Hindi version is, ye ishwari law hai, it's a law of action, he says, law of karma. Swayam ko siddh karne wala kabhi bhi prasiddh nahi ho sakega. This is the divine law, he says. One who tries to justify and glorify himself, never really is widely held in high esteem. Now, it is a natural law. And if we keep this in mind, even if we want to win respect, want to win esteem in people's eyes, it is not the way. If we have humility, if we have good qualities, if we respect, Baba says, Give respect and you will have respect. Respect cannot be had by demanding or commanding, but respect can be had if we have some qualities. And he says, when you say others, even if someone's views do not appeal to you, don't say, but this is not correct. No. Yes, what you say seems to be quite okay, good. But what if we do like this? Don't try to humiliate others and put them into the dark and say what you are saying is altogether wrong and false. Because Baba gives so many titles to every child. And when Baba gives respect to every child, how much respect we must give to all sisters and brothers. So we have no authority to say, to condemn wholesale someone's suggestion and views, to negate it publicly, and to say that this is something lower than what we are giving, just to underrate into the eyes of others. This is totally wrong. We are violating Baba's commandments. If someone is giving the views and we don't agree with it, we cannot be harsh and say, no, no, this cannot be. If you are going to do this, all right, then I am not with you. This is intolerance. This is losing patience, losing temper. This is not the Brahman life, the yogi life. We should say yes, because that is also a yogi soul. And according to one stage, will one always speak. Maybe that sometimes we do not understand the real importance of what someone is saying. It may dawn upon us sometime later. Why outright we reject? So Baba says, give respect. Don't try to prove yourself to be correct, the wisest on earth. And on the other hand, you give respect and say, well, seems to be correct. But what if we do like this? Let people compare. It means you are not saying that other is wrong. If you want to show that this line is smaller and your line is bigger, it does not mean that you should just erase a part of other people's line and try to prove your one to be the bigger one. If you can draw a bigger one, everyone will see, yes, it is bigger. So what you say, everyone will have the occasion to wait. So Baba says, if you want to prove that you what you are saying is really very good, very high quality, then you will not win respect, which is really your aim. You will win your respect if you give others chance. And this was what we saw in Baba. Baba would say, this child, now last night when sisters and brothers were meeting Baba, this one is always happy, Baba would say. So happy, aren't you so happy always? The child would say, yes, I am always happy. So if we advertise in the newspaper, Baba said, that if you want happiness, come to this child, would it be alright? Just see, he encourages everyone. He does not say, oh no, sometimes you are happy, sometimes you are not happy. How can you say that you are always happy? When we have not attained that stage of constancy, of perfection, evidently no one is always 100% happy. Because Maya sometimes attacks us. Sometimes we may be at least 99.9%, 0.1% may become less. Because the final stage will come at the end when we have scored the final victory. Baba knows this. But Baba gives the enthusiasm. Yes, we find you are always happy. Now this child will go with this thought that Baba gave him this title. And he must maintain this title. He must keep it. Just as a heavyweight boxer or someone you see as is a world champion and wants to keep that title unto him. Because he thinks it's something which is given to me. Now, you are the happiest one, he would say. Aren't you? Now, this one publicly admits, yes, he is. See? Now, see Baba's yukti. And if I advertise, Baba says in the newspaper that if you want happiness, you come. So, you agree? He said, yes. So, now he has to be happy somehow or the other. Isn't it? Then Baba further said, you have seen there are some mirrors. And they are such funny mirrors that if someone goes in front of those mirrors, one cannot but laugh. You know, they distort your image. And even if you are very tall, you look very pygmy. If you are very small, you look hot. You laugh at your own self. How funny I am looking in this mirror. So Baba said, you have seen those mirrors? The child said, yes. Then Baba said, those who come even weeping and stand in front of those mirrors, they leave laughing when they see their face in that mirror. So would you be like that mirror? So that if anyone comes crying, wailing, weeping in front of you and goes laughing? He said, yes. Now, this is the way Baba gives lift to everyone. And this is therefore the quality of a supreme being. And if we want
to be like unto Baba, we have to do this. Encourage everyone. Try to accept, so that others may develop their self-confidence, that in this meeting what they said was something sensible. Next time also they can give some contribution of thought, if not any other contribution. If always you reject, they will develop a feeling of low confidence in themselves, some kind of inferiority complex, and don't later on complain that this person is not able to cooperate, not help, because mentally this person is not involved. You never accept his precious views. Even a child is sometimes obeyed by the elderly people, even though they know that this is some childish thing. But in order that there may be growth of the child, in that interest you have to just accept that. So this should be our approach. And this is what Baba asks us to do. Then he says, some two or three examples I gave, that if we follow the way of life of Shudras, if we have motives like them, we are stealing their Shudras habits I gave yesterday. And also that they say that we are trustees, but actually they are not behaving like trustees and they are telling lies, so on and so forth. These are what Baba is trying to create aversion, that our motives are sometimes foul, wrong, false motives. And then second one, to replace them by better forms. This is the second what Baba uses. Now, in one of the Avyakt Murlis, Baba says, Man, Buddhi or Sanskar, mind, intellect and sanskaras are the three powers of the soul, he says. You can attain real mastery by having these under your control. Do you ever become subservient to these powers? If you have mastery over these, you become sovereign of the world. Just what kind of enthusiasm he gives us. You can become sovereign of the whole world. Here is an incentive, a great motivation. And then say these to others. You know, if you want number one, then you have to be the first in obeying Baba's command, in putting the principles of this Jnana into your life first, better than any other can do. This is really the way whereby you can gain the first position. You can have the mastery over others, you can lord over others, or you can be the topmost among the whole lot. Then in another Vani he says, Sirf Atma Kalyani nahi, Vishva Kalyani panna hai. You have not to work only for your own liberation, but also for the liberation of the world. Now he wants that all our motives be directed not for our personal fulfillment, but for attaining a higher goal, which is the public welfare, the welfare of the whole mankind. So not respect for me, not this thing for me, that thing for me, egocentric kind of person, wanting everything for me, selfish motive, but the motive of the service, for the better, for the good of all mankind. In another he says, Vishwa Maharajan banne wali atma ko, atma ka purushart, sirf apne prati nahi hoga. I will read better in English, I translated it today so that I can give you better immediately. Those who desire to be sovereigns would not make efforts only for themselves. Now the mastery motive is there so that we also want to become sovereign. And generally when Baba put question to the students, to children in the class, would you like to come into Suryavansh or Chandravansh? No one would say Chandravansh, Moon Dynasty. Everyone would say Sun Dynasty. All right. If you want to come in the Sun Dynasty, would you like to become one of the subjects or the king or queen? Everyone will say king or queen, not subjects. Because we know that those who come into subjects would have done lesser efforts in their past Brahman life. So everyone would like to say he would like to become double crowned king or double crowned queen. So if that is our, it is because we want the mastery, there is our mastery motive. So if that motive is there, now Baba says those who desire to be good world sovereigns would not make efforts only for themselves. If that is what you desire really, then what you have to keep in mind is that you have not to make efforts only for your own sake and try to fulfill your own motives or ambitions. They will have the stock of all powers full for the use of mankind. Their stock should be full of all powers. So naturally the attention is to be diverted towards having, storing, talking powers. And when our attention is towards that, naturally all our worldly motives are gone. At present, Baba says, at present, you use some of your time, energy and attention for your own self. But in the end, one would not be able to spend even a single second for one's own self, but for the welfare of the mankind. Why not do it from now? So Baba says that instead of trying to have this worldly motive, that worldly motive, these small desires, small ambitions, small objects to be achieved, what we should have is the motive of becoming world sovereign. And in order to become world sovereign, what is to be done is that we should have a stock full of all powers. Why should we have a stock full of powers? Because a sovereign would donate. He would be the donor. He would give help to others. He alone deserves to be sovereign who makes the subjects. How you make the subjects? By giving help to others. And how can you give help to others unless until you have the powers? Therefore, Baba says that you build up the stock of those powers. Then only you help others, then only you make the subjects, then only you become the sovereign. This is the way. In another, Murli Baba says, the speciality of a special souls is to make difficult things easy. Now, one who wants to have mastery, he wants to conquer obstacles, to remove difficulties, to master every situation. Now, what kind of situation you should master? Baba is now trying to explain us. He is trying to give us some nobler, higher aim of achieving mastery. He says the speciality of special souls is to make difficult things easy. God, the Father, is adored as one who solves the difficulties. Mushkil ko aasan karne wala. One who solves the difficulties or who reduces the crucifixion-like situation into a mere scratch of a thistle. Or one who changes a cross into a mere small thorn, you can say. Baba says, from suli se kanta, he makes. If you remember the Father, no problem or obstacle would appear to you to be a big problem. So Baba says, if you really want to be a master, have your mastery motive realized, fulfilled, then what you should do is remove all obstacles and problems, solve difficulties. And what are the difficulties? These difficulties, as I said, come because of our sanskaras. And why our sanskaras come into play? I explained it is the motives. Motives manifest themselves in the form of sanskaras. How do the sanskaras influence our present reactions? Because of motives. If a person has been sexy during many of his past lives, he will have sex motive. And this sanskara will give him sex motive. Then this motive will give him sex outlook, sex tendencies. And then his action, his behavior will be like that. If a person has got money motive, he has been greedy during his past lives. Now his past sanskara will take him to this money. Mammon will be his god. So he will be after this, minting money all the time. So our past sanskaras give us motives. And those motives give us outlook, attitude, tendencies. And those tendencies lead us to actions. This is the genesis of the action. How our actions are, how our behavior is, what it is. It is because of this. So this is how the motives influence our present behavior. And in order to get rid of it, Baba is giving us this example. That you should try to overcome the obstacles, the problems, the difficulties. What kind of difficulties? Those which are from your sanskaras. How can you remove them? By removing those ignoble, those wrong, those bad motives. How can you remove them? By motivating yourself for a higher, nobler purpose. What is that nobler purpose? Baba says, win victory over your sense organs in one of the things. He says, have victory over your mind, intellect and sanskaras. In another, he says, so on and so forth, which I have been giving. In another, he says, your efforts have to be such that you do not remain subservient to any attraction or suffering as a result of your karmic account or sense organs. But you have to be the master of your circumstances. Parasthiti, sthiti, sometimes he says, karam bhog, and all this. You have to be master in all these situations. Instead of having other kind of mastery motive, have this. So that whatever is your karmic account, at that time don't feel disturbed. At that time you should control the situation. Be master knowledgeful. Must have become powerful. And then control that situation. And remove your obstacle who stands in your way. In another, he says, Kaman na ban, kamal karna hai. You have not to be ordinary, but do something extraordinary. So, this motive, that motive and the other motive, this is what ordinary men have. So, if you also are trying to spend your time in fulfilling these motives, so you are just an ordinary person. And don't you want to be an extraordinary person? To do something great? Everyone wants to do something great, actually. And if you really want to do something great, then why do you have these ordinary motives? He says, have some extraordinary motive, and that is to become king or queen of the golden age. In another, he says, apne chitra aur charitra se baap ke charitra ko pratyaksh karna hai. You have to make the father known through your own acts. Not that you become known, but father is known through your action. So this is double. Now, father can be known through my actions only when my actions are father-like. So I also become great. And this is my wish. This is my motive. And by doing this, I glorify father. I do something great. So this is double greatness. So he says, if you try to improve yourself to a stage whereby your actions can glorify Baba, can make Baba known to others, that is the real achievement, that is the real mastery you can have. In another Avyaktvani, he says, Lakshan Dhari hi bhavishya mein Lakshmi banega. He says, you can become royal Lakshmi if you have royal qualities. And royal qualities can be have if we have this royal achievement, the motive for royal achievement in our life. Now these were for the second, I said the second yuga. Baba gives some higher aim so that we are motivated for that aim and the other motives are left behind. Now the third one is to inspire for a gain which is all-encompassing, all-inclusive, in which all our motives are fulfilled. This is the third yukti which Baba generally uses. Third, not I am giving number-wise, but one of them. This is what I mean to say. Now, I will give, I think, one or two of every other yukti so that we are able to finish it today, so that next time we can take some other topic. Now, in this third category, the third kind of yuktis, Baba says, as devotees go and prostrate unto idols of your perfect stage, and say to the idols, you are great, but we are fallen. Fallen ones. And as the idol does not say that it is great, even so you should be of so high a stage that anyone who comes unto you should feel as a devotee does when he goes unto an idol. When a devotee goes unto an idol, he, in the Indian way of worshipping is that when a bhakta or a devotee goes in a temple and the moment he is facing the idol, he just lies down on the ground, prostrates unto the idol. And he says to the deity, O Lord, O Mother Goddess, or O God, you are perfect. So on and so forth. He glorifies. And then about himself, he says, I am fallen. Main neech hoon, main daas hoon. I am just a humble servant of yours. Now Baba says, he himself says it. The idol, the image of the goddess, or the symbol of that god, does not speak out and say, well, I am this, but you are the reverse of it. He himself says. So Baba says, why you ask people to give you respect? Why you want command and demand and have this and all that? Why don't you develop that kind of state? These images, these idols are your own relics. Once upon a time in the past, you had this stage. And they just are reminiscent of that stage of yours. And look, even now when it's a devotee goes and this is what happens. So if you just have your stage like this, naturally you will become worshipati. And who can be more respectful than worshipati? Even the political leaders, the rich people, or the scholars, or all other worldly people who win laurels or who have name and fame or a higher position, they are not worshipati. But you become the most respectworthy, most worshipati if you just first of all acquire these qualities. So, this is, he says, all encompassing. He says, main gareeb hoon. Not only this, I am a poor person, but you are the giver of wealth to Lakshmi, he says. To Saraswati, he says, you are the giver of wisdom or of knowledge. I am totally an ignorant fool, he would say. Like this, main murakh kalkami. These are the words which a person uses. If anyone says to another person, you are a fool, a quarrel would ensue. He would say, who are you to call me a fool? Why did you say that I am a fool? What authority, what right you have to insult me like this. But look, in this case, the person goes unto the deity and says, I am a fool. What a wonder. I am a fool, he says. He admits, I am Urak. And not only am I a fool, he says, I am Khal, I am a wicked person. Now this is a stronger condemnation about the self. He says, I am wicked, I am Khal and Kami. I am the most lustful person. I am the most ambitious person also, he says about himself. So because those idols are like mirrors and our stage becomes clear to us when we go in front of them, what were their stage and what is our stage. And Baba says, these are your own past stages. Why don't you attain to that stage so that you are glorified? Now, the fourth one was to defer, to postpone for the future. And now take for example, Baba says, have you finished the service of world liberation? Kya vishwa kalyan kar liya? Paap dagd kar liya? Our most immediate task is to get rid of the result of our past sins, which because of our body consciousness we have been doing life after life. So much is the load on our head, of which we are not aware, but it causes us suffering every minute. Sometimes because of ill health, sometimes due to disturbance in mind, or pinpricks from others. Many, many causes of suffering in this world. And all because of our past sins. And many keep awaiting to bring that suffering later. Because all the sins committed in the past cannot bring the result to us all at once, at the same time. Gradually, as different fruit take different time to grow and to ripe. So happens with the karmas. Each kind of karma takes different period to materialize in our life. But as Baba has given us facts and figures, 84 lives, and out of these 63 lives, every minute because of body consciousness we are doing something wrong. Using our eyes, ears, mouth, hands, feet, all our sense body organs in a wrong way, doing sins, milder or stronger. And Baba says, so don't you think that the immediate task which concerns you, why immediate task, why the most important task, why the top most priority is given to this, when you have a long list of engagements, so many things you have to do, so many letters you receive, and in your office, so many telex messages, so many telephone calls, so on and so forth, and you say, this one can defer, postpone it, to your secretary you say, this one urgent, this one immediate, this one advance. You mark this one top priority. Because after all, everything is not equally important. There are certain things which need your immediate attention. One wants to go to office because one has to earn money, livelihood for oneself. But the child is sick. Now the question is, he is so ill. There is the question of life and death of this child. Now, this going to the office can be postponed, but going to the doctor cannot be, because this one would die. So this is more urgent, he would write an application for leave, or ring his boss up that tomorrow, today I cannot come sir, because my child is on deathbed, he is very ill, and a doctor is to be called because immediate attention is required. This is more important, every sensible person knows. Now in the scheme of things, in the job list which you have, the work which you have, the things which require your attention, your energy, your time, your thought, what is more important and what is most immediate, what you have to do, the foremost of all, you understand? Again Baba says, do you understand or you don't understand? Do you realize or you don't realize? Mama generally used to give some murlis and say, faisla karo. Samay ye keh raha hai, she would say, time is saying like this, situation is like this, and your condition is like this. Now you have to decide. What is your condition? You realize? What is the time in the world clock? Do you realize? What is the situation that will follow? Do you realize? Well, if you really realize, then judge for yourself what you are required to do. So Baba says that you have to give now thought to this, which is the most important, most immediate. So much is the load of sins of your past 63 lives on you. Don't you realize? And how short is the time left? And how much endeavor and effort is required to be in that constant stage of love and meditation? And how to attain that final stage of soul consciousness, getting rid of all these bondages which you have built by your own wrong effort? And such short being the time, don't you realize that this one requires your most urgent and immediate and foremost and full attention? If it does, then why you want this, that and the other? Why your motives make your mind scattered? Why you are frittering away your energy? Why you are losing your mind in other thoughts, having waste thoughts, what Baba calls waste thoughts? What are waste thoughts except this? What is the leakage? It's the leakage. So, if you don't stop this, you are going to suffer a great loss. So, Baba says, I just ask you, you are trying to pay your attention to this, that and the other thing. Have you just freed yourself, liberated yourself from the load of your sins? Not. So, therefore, you must pay your attention to this. And, kya vishwa ka kalyan kar liya? Don't you know that God has come? And what for God has come? To create a new world. And God himself alone has not to create the world. He tells that he has to make use of Brahmins. These are his arms, his instruments. After all, he also alone cannot work. If he was, then he could have done it from Paramdham, from this whole world. He came here and first of all prepared Brahma, Mama and Baba, and then others, and then army of Pandavas and Shaktis. And through these instruments, he has to create a new world. Why he uses these instruments? Because they are to go to that new world. And each one has to attain the status according to his or her own efforts. So naturally, these have to be made the instruments. Because if they don't make the effort, how do they deserve to go there? And when the new world is to be created, it is not alone God's work. It is very clear. And we are all to be cooperative in this. If that be the case, then he asks us, have we finished that work? If that is the work which is required at this time, the whole world is crying because of peacelessness, and a peaceful world order is to be created, and you are to be the instruments, and this is the most urgent work, and if you are not doing this, then what else you are doing? This is what Baba says. Have you finished the service of world liberation, he asks us? Have you finished the task of burning your sins? Now this one was the fourth one. Now the fifth one. So other things can differ. They can wait. This one the first. Now the fifth one, to show the benefits of giving up the other kinds of motives. He says, I already gave you one or two yesterday, tyag se bhagya banta hai, that renunciation or giving up is really gaining, attaining. Now another point he says, if one can make sacrifice for one's worldly relatives, mundane relatives, why can one not make sacrifice for God? Now he just appeals to our sense. Don't you say, he says, that God is our mother, father, friend, philosopher, guide, teacher, preceptor. You again and again, life after life, you have been saying, Tume mata cha pita tume bandhu cha sakha tume, our father in heaven, so on and so forth. In every religion, some kind of relationship is established with God. He is our creator, our father, our mother, our friend, our most beloved. Now, if that be your relationship with him, if for the worldly relations you can make your sacrifice, alright, then having so many spiritual relationship with him, can't you make sacrifice? Baba says, even in the case of sex motive, in so many Murlis Baba says, life after life you have been having this. Baba said, I have no beard. But he would generally put his hand here and would say, would not you just think of my prestige? You are my children. Even for this small part of the last life which is left. This is the last life. Don't you realize? Again he asks, you understand or you don't understand? Again he asks us, in order to awaken us, you understand or you don't understand? Very often when we talk to somebody, we say, you see, he is seeing. But again we ask, you see, he is peeping into our eyes, staring into our eyes. We very much know this. But again we have the habit, I also have this habit, of saying, you see. So Baba says, you understand or you don't understand. Because you don't move your head, you don't knock it. Are you awake or you are like statues, stone statues? Are you being moved or you are not being moved? He wants to know. And he says that when you say life after life, that these are your relations with me and you have been making sacrifices for those relationships. And I was saying that even in the case of the sex motive, he says, this is the last part of your last life. And how much time is left? And can't you give this up, even for this small part of this? Alright, maybe that this is your bad sanskara. It is so much powerful in your this. Alright, but if someone is ill, if there is an occasion, people are at your home, if there is some other urgent occasion, you are after all not always thinking of this. You have other things to do in your world, and you do it. For your own relative's sake, you do pay attention to other things, not only to the manifestation of this. Similarly, he says, can't you make this small sacrifice for me, when I give you so much in return for it? And am I not having any kind of relationship with you? All other relationships are based on your body, and body is mortal. Those are only short-lived relationships. As a soul to the Supreme Soul, you are permanent relationship, and not one relationship. All your relationships are with me, and can't you make this small sacrifice for me? He asks, by giving this when you get so much. Then in another he says, to have desire for fruits is to eat the fruit before it is ripe. You want this, you want that, the other thing. He says you are trying to have so many kinds of fruit. And you just want to have this fruit just before they are ripe. And I ask you, he says, to defer these wishes. And when you just make efforts in this life, and you will get when they are ripe. In another Avyaktvani he says, desire makes an achievement ordinary. Kamna rakhne ka parinam common ho jata hai, he says. If you just have these worldly motives to be fulfilled, worldly desires to be realized, then he says, your achievements, even if you achieve something, so it is commonplace. It is very ordinary, which other people also have. Then what is extraordinary in you? You are not doing anything great. So if you give this up, you will get something better. In another he says, hero part banane ke liye pehle apne ko zero samjho. If you consider yourself to be zero, then only you can become hero. In another he says, balihari jane wale ki haar nahi hoti. One who sacrifices everything for the love of God never faces failure. So he says, if you have this, then you get this. Now the sixth one is diversion. The sixth yukti. He tries to divert our attention, from one to the other, to give up this motive for another. Now he says, knowledgeful hone se hi successful hote hain. So that when we pay our attention to knowledge, to being knowledgeful, our actually what we want to have, why we want to have this mastery motive is to be master in all the situations, to remove all the obstacles, to gain success, to have highest achievement. And he says you can have highest achievement and high success by being knowledgeful. So our attention is drawn toward knowledgeful, because our actual goal is to become successful. And if we can become successful by being knowledgeful, as Baba says, then naturally, that being our motive, we pay attention to being knowledgeful. In another, he says, lagan mein magan rehne se vigna nahi honge. If your mind is lovefully absorbed in Baba, your way will be free from obstacles. So, why we want to have mastery over things is, we want that all obstacles be removed from our path. If that is our vision, that is our desire, that is our motive, then he says, if you just have your mind lovefully absorbed in Baba, this will automatically happen. So he wants to divert our attention to have love for Baba rather than try to have our motives satisfied in a worldly, ordinary way. The seventh one, by balancing. Now he says, Balak so Malak. The child is the master. If you want to be the master, you have also to be the child. Both have, these have to be balanced. This is another. And then the eighth, he says, I said that he explains to us by how by letting our motives come into play, it causes harm to others and to us. An example is, dhokhe ki nishani hai, jisse dukh ki prapti hoti hai. He says, deception causes suffering. If your underlying motives are different than what you pretend to be, then you are deceiving others, and you are also deceiving yourselves. And you should know that deception causes sufferings. If by playing foul motives you think that others are not noticing it, they don't know it, at least Baba knows it and your conscience knows it. And you are trying to deceive, this is self-deception and also deceiving others. And by playing this fraud, by this act of deception, you are causing suffering to others. How they feel when they come to know of this? And how you feel when the final suffering comes to you? So, know this, that deception causes suffering. Now, these are some of the yuktis by means of which Baba tries to motivate us fully, intensely towards our final goal, so that we can have that highest achievement. And with this, I think I close. Om Shanti.